tonight I figured I'd speak about a topic that has a title that was unheard of some years ago, enabling. I think there were different words for it some years ago, but it is called enabling. To enable means to make it possible for someone to do something. Now, I think practically all of us here have been connected at one time or another with an alcoholic. And I'm sure that many of the things that we have tried to help them, perhaps over a period of years, simply have not worked. They just haven't worked. And we have racked our brain and tried every single thing we could think of. The motive, pure love, pure charity. We want to try to help a drinker stop the drinking, and it simply hasn't worked. And we wind up feeling, amongst a whole lot of other things, bewildered. There's just this terrible bewilderment. What in the name of God is wrong? The more I try to make him or her child, spouse, brother, sister, parent, the more I try to make him better, the drunker he gets, the sicker he gets, the worse he gets. What in the name of heavens is wrong? Usually, somewhere along the line, I have to swallow the pride that has kept me from seeking help. I have to swallow that pride and seek help. And the primary source of help for non-alcoholics who live with and are trying to help some alcoholic is Al-Anon, the sister discipline to AA. And it is there, I think, that the best help is available, simply because it's based on experience. Now, what you learn there may or may not work, because the one on whom you try things has to respond. If he does, fine. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But through experience, it has been found that of the things that might work, the things that have been built up through experience are those that work best. And so, in Al-Anon, people begin to learn a few things about what they have been doing and why they've been wrong. It is pure need that is created by our ignorance. We ultimately have to come to a point where we see the utter need of outside help. I have tried, I have tried, I have tried, and failed, and failed, and failed. The discouragement is there, and the pure need out of desperation is created by my ignorance. I just don't know now what to do. And so from the people in Al-Anon, I have to find out what in the world I am dealing with, and I find that I am dealing with a phenomenon called addiction. And without going into too much detail, addiction has two primary characteristics. Number one, compulsion. Compulsive use. Whether the addiction is to alcohol or any other chemical, I will use the word alcohol and alcoholic, but it applies to any addictive substance and any drug addict. I find that addiction involves compulsive use, which means that the alcoholic drinks against his will. I wonder how many times any of us here has ever said, I can do it, why can't you? You're a strong person in every other way. Why can't you handle your drinking? And on the part of non-alcoholics, I am sure that compulsion is one of those most baffling things that they'll never figure out. If you've never experienced, how can you know what it is like? I once heard a man give a definition of his compulsion. When I take a drink, I cannot guarantee my subsequent behavior. Doesn't mean he got drunk every time. Doesn't mean he robbed banks or beat somebody up every time. All it meant was that when he takes a single drink, the behavior was unforeseen. Even if it was only taking a second drink that he didn't intend, even if it was only if he was 15 minutes late for some appointment that he didn't intend before he took the first drink. I heard another man say, my filter's busted. And it makes as much sense as anything so-called scientific that I've ever heard. He said, when I drink, my body does not handle alcohol the way other people handle it. And so this thing called addiction involves compulsion. Please, please see if this doesn't make sense. If alcoholism were a question of willpower, there wouldn't be any alcoholics. They would have used it, and it would have worked, but it never worked. The alcoholic primarily drinks because he cannot not drink. He can't not drink. Many, many people spend jillions trying to find out why they drink. You can learn why you drink. If you have a memory, you can know why you drank. But why do you drink compulsively? Why does an alcoholic drink? He doesn't drink because he has an inferiority complex, or because of a death in the family, or because he's fearful of authority. He drinks because he's an alcoholic. He drinks because he can't not drink. That's why. It is purely a physiological addiction to a chemical. The second characteristic is progression. It gets nothing but worse if he continues to drink. And indeed, it gets worse even after he stops. If you recall from a previous bit of information, when an alcoholic begins to drink after a protracted period of sobriety, he doesn't pick up where he left off. He picks up where he would have been drinking if he had been drinking all along. But the big thing we're after now is compulsion. And so I have to look at what I have done and see that it has nothing to do with his addiction. I begin to wonder, why has he not responded to these things I've done? Doesn't he see that I love him? Doesn't he see that I care? Can't he see that his job is at stake? Can he see that his marriage is about to crumble? Can he see that his kids are embarrassed by him? Why doesn't he see all these things? He does, but he can't help it. He just can't help it. I am dealing with addiction. All right. What I have to do is take a good look at my behavior and see that it has nothing to do with compulsion. The things I've done have neither caused him to continue his addiction or not continue it. Probably it has helped him to continue in it, but we'll see why a little bit later. The nature of his disease makes him drink the way he drinks. But all along I have felt guilt about what I've done, about what I've left undone. I am told, and I've seen this through experience, so have you, the universal emotion in every alcoholic home on the part of alcoholic and non-alcoholic alike is guilt. Guilt. In his heart of hearts, the alcoholic lives. He lives with shame and remorse and self-condemnation. And the others, if I were a better wife, he wouldn't want to spend all his time in bars away from home. If I were a better husband and provider, she wouldn't be drunk all the time. If I were a better child, if I made better marks, my mother wouldn't be drunk in the afternoon when I come home from school. If I were a better parent, if I had more to give my kids, they wouldn't be in the mess they're in right now with alcohol and drugs and so on. Everyone experiences guilt, guilt, guilt. And it just isn't necessary, because it isn't accurate, it isn't true. The alcoholic drinks because he can't not drink. Now, My pride makes me deny what is so. To the outside world, I say everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm lying. Everything isn't fine. But you know what my pride makes me deny? That there's a problem in this house. You see, I don't want my mother to be an alcoholic. I don't want my son to be an alcoholic. Above all, I don't want my father, my spouse, my husband, my wife, I don't want him or her to be an alcoholic. Therefore, he or she isn't. And so I say cute but very stupid and very ignorant things like, oh, well, yes, on occasion she drinks too much, but I don't want him to be an alcoholic, therefore he is not. And so the non-alcoholic lives in a great deal of denial, which just prolongs the alcoholic's getting well, or it puts off the getting well for too long. If I were this, he would be that. If I were this, she would be that. If I were better, he would not drink this much. All these things are just a waste of mental energy. And so when I come into Al-Anon, I listen to the experience of those who have come to realize what is involved, a disease, and I begin to pick up on a lot of the things that don't work and I shouldn't do them. What are the don'ts? Well, there are a jillion of them. I'll just mention a few. For example, paying financially some of the debts and picking up some of the financial obligations of the alcoholic. Making good bad checks. Every time you make good a bad check, you just gave him permission to write another one. Tuition for a youngster in school who is frittering away hard-earned money by staying away from class or sleeping because he's hungover while he is in class. And I keep picking up that tab and he keeps getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Paying bills for people. Paying rent for people. Youngsters who go away to school and live in an apartment. They're messing up like you wouldn't believe. And here's mom and dad continuing to pick up these bills and continuing to aid and abet and enable him to continue in his disease. The paradox is I'm helping someone towards the grave thinking I'm trying to help them respond and get well. It just doesn't work. The employer who doesn't want to hand in, or the supervisor who doesn't want to hand in a bad report about an employee. And so we help them die by covering up. It's a form of denial, really. Actually, it's a lie. And then we begin to explain it away. Well, he's drinking because he has a lousy job. She's drinking because, good heavens, look at the mess their family is in. Well, it's easy to understand why he's drunk all the time. He just lost his wife. And so we begin to give irrational explanations for a disease. We don't do this with other diseases. We just don't. If somebody has cancer, they have cancer. If somebody has uremic poisoning, they have it. Somebody has emphysema, we don't say, well, he's coughing that way because of some goofy psychological reason. He's coughing because he has emphysema. And the alcoholic drinks because he's an alcoholic and has a disease that makes him do it. We come to the basic principle under which non-alcoholics should function in dealing with an alcoholic. Don't pick up the tab for the alcoholic. Why? Every time you pick up the tab for the alcoholic, you just bought him his next drink. Every time you pay his bills, you just allow him to run up a few more. What we do, out of the purest of motives, we do his or her hurting for him. And the more I do your hurting for you, the longer is postponed the fact of your having to do your own hurting. It's just unjust. It's just unjust to postpone the alcoholic's moment of truth by your meeting it time and time and time again. And so we continue to do the wrong things. The alcoholic feels worse. He's becoming more and more dependent on alcohol, but what in his innermost heart, he's becoming more and more dependent on you, and he may hate you for it. He just may hate you for it. I know one case of a brother who now shuns his sister because she allowed him to live on her, and he couldn't stand it. His manhood was being wiped out. And so he postpones his moment of truth. That point in life where he must make a major decision about drinking or not drinking. By the way, I have heard alcoholics use the term to hit one's bottom. I don't believe in that term, and I thank God I don't hear it used much anymore. I always say to an alcoholic, do you really think you hit your bottom? Really? Pick up a drink. You'll find out what bottom is all about. What the alcoholic reaches is a point in his life where he sees that he should decide not to drink rather than to drink. Where his desire to be sober is stronger than his desire to be drunk. And so, the only thing that is going to help the alcoholic to get well is to make him face the consequences of his behavior. That's a must. When I face them, he's not facing them. I'm doing it for him. There's just something untruthful about that, something unjust to the victim. He must face the consequences of his behavior, because if I do it for him, I enable him to stay sick. It is only the reality of his disease and its consequences that will absolutely one day force him to get well. Now watch this magic trick. I'm going to turn this board around. And there's all kinds of writing on this side. Now this won't take long. This is kind of the wind up here. What are the do's? What are the things that should govern my behavior for the alcoholic? First of all, I have to exert the intelligence that God gave me and look down the road. All right, here is a crisis in the life of this family. The alcoholic is in this predicament. Here I am with several choices about what I'm to do or not do. I have to look down the road and answer this question. In the long run, will it help or hinder him? And boy, that's going to take some stark honesty on my part. In the long run, okay, he has credit card problems. I have it in my pocket to clear it all up for him. Will that help or hinder him? Immediately, obviously it's going to help him. Obviously it's going to help him. In the long run, what? It'll probably prompt him to keep piling up debts because he can play you like a violin. He knows you're going to do this. You've been doing it for years. Somewhere along the line, I have to answer this question. Is it a help or a hindrance in the long run? So I have to do a lot of thinking and a lot of evaluating based on the experience of those in Al-Anon to whom I have been listening. Number two, I am faced with this predicament, as is he. Whose responsibility is it? It's almost like this one. Is it his or mine? And if it's his, am I strong enough to stand up in the face of opposition? Hey, where's your kindness, for heaven's sake? He's down for the count. You don't kick people when they're down. And you say, I'm not kicking him. I am gently forcing him to face his responsibility. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody is responsible for becoming an alcoholic. That happens. But once the road to recovery is pointed out, it is the alcoholic's responsibility to get well by responding to proper help. Not mine, not yours, his. His. And so, am I strong enough to not do something for him? My heart screams that I should do this. And yet reason tells me in the long run it's going to do him more harm than good. What it takes for those who have been damaged by the drinking of another is tremendous purpose, tremendous intent with the eye always on the goal. Am I truly interested in his ultimate recovery, or am I interested in taking a little bit of heat off of me? What are my motives? Will I look nice and clean and good to outsiders looking in if I do this? Will I be the bad guy if I don't do this? Why am I acting? If I know this is essential for him, I have to be motivated enough to do it for him. So what's behind it all? True, honest to God love. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about the moon and June type of love. I'm talking about functioning for the good, for the welfare of another. I believe that when it is difficult, only big people are capable of it. I'm not trying to answer any questions, because I have seen in families people who have wrongly tried to follow the advice to abandon an alcoholic. Have you ever heard this? Well, I'd kick him out. Throw him out of the house. Did you ever try that with a son or a daughter? I know a man in the Midwest. He's been in AA for a lot of years. He had a 28-year-old son. And he helped and pleaded and cajoled and forced. And he did everything known to God, man, and beast. The boy was 28 years old, living at home with his dad, and ultimately, he had to dismiss the boy from the house, and it almost killed him. It almost killed him. I never advise people to do this or that. If you are already a member of Al-Anon, don't enter into the lives of others and make decisions for them. Please, don't do that. The only thing you can do with fellow members of Al-Anon is what alcoholics can do, the only thing they should be doing with fellow members of AA. Tell one's own story, what you did, what you didn't do, and if it worked or if it didn't, and leave the decision up to them. Please let me... I'll do this several times in a lot of the stuff that I hope to do from here on in, but I would like to give you a piece of advice. And by giving it, I'm going to break the rule that I'm about to lay down. Listen, never give advice, comma, unless it is asked for, and then only reluctantly. I have learned through the advice of others and through bitter experience how to give. Now, I'm in the professional advice business. That's part of my life. But when people present a problem to me, I hear that. I don't hear the other. There was an old moral theologian we had in class. He used to say there are three sides to every argument: your side, his side, and the right side. What you hear is one side. And when I hear that, I always say this. If I have any advice, I give it. I was just asked for it. Based on what you have told me. Based on what you have told me, here's what I think I might do. And then I give the advice. I did that on the phone one night to a woman who had called me. And she said, yeah, but what do you want me to do? I said, I don't want you to do anything. I don't know you. But if I were you, I mean, based on what you've told me, here's what I think I would do. We went around that mulberry bush 8 times and she hung up in anger. She wanted me. She wanted me to make her decision for her. And I wouldn't do that. When you give advice based on your own experience to some new person in Al-Anon, just tell them what happened to you. Stick to the steps of Al-Anon. They are principles that govern rational behavior. And listen to those who have already been where you are. And you may come up with a solution. But I'll tell you one thing. You will, I think, if you try this, gain a proper hierarchy of values. You will find out that you are your own first responsibility before God. Not you. You are not responsible for your alcoholic. Are you responsible for loving him? Yes, that's a universal commandment that binds all humans. But if I have discovered that my love has been misdirected and misplaced, and I have done exactly the opposite to what I should have been doing, let me have the courage enough to correct it and hope to God that one day as a result of it, somebody might live because of my behavior. And I thank you for listening to me. Good night.